Welcome to Backyard Oasis, a podcast designed by and for older adults living in the beautiful Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts and produced in the tech studios at Greenfield Community College in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Backyard Oasis reaches out to older adults who seek knowledge to help them live more thoughtfully, healthily, and happily, who hope to inspire others with their ideas, and who serve their communities in the interest of the greater good. We hope you join us frequently in our pleasant backyard oasis for wide-ranging conversations with a diversity of people who are growing older and want to talk about it.
Hi, I'm Denise Schwartz. And today we're going to talk about something that is good for everybody. And it's also something I love. It's dancing. Okay, wait a minute before you say, no, I don't want to hear about dancing. I'm not going to be able to go out on a dance floor. I'll look silly. This is not for me. Just take a minute and listen. While Emily Fox, a dance teacher and a dancer, and I talk about dancing and the benefits of dancing for people of all ages, but especially older adults. Now, one of the things to remember as you listen to us talk is that one of the benefits of dancing, I think the most important benefit, is that it's fun. I've always loved to dance. My mother said that when I was a little kid, I used to dance down the hallway of our house every time we heard music. And there was a lot of music in our house, so there was a lot of dancing. In fact, my parents, well, they met on the dance floor. It was the big band era. And they went to the ballrooms in the big hotels in Pittsburgh. And that's where they danced during their courtship. And then they kept dancing during their adult lives. And I saw how it kept them happy and pretty healthy. In fact, I met my husband on the dance floor. But, you know, we didn't dance the way my parents did. It was the time when everybody went out on the dance floor and kind of just did their own thing. And that's really good, too. That was a lot of fun, you know. Just listen to the beat and move your body around. And my husband and I, we still do that when we go dancing. He doesn't want a partner dance. We do individual dancing. We still do that. But, you know, about 10 years ago, I decided that I wanted to dance the way my parents had danced. I wanted to waltz and foxtrot and cha-cha and swing. And just the way the universe works, I happened to see an announcement that said the Greenfield Community College was offering dance classes, ballroom dance classes. And I signed up. And I walked into the dance studio by myself one night, and there were about 25 other people there, and there was our dance teacher, Emily Fox. And step by step, she taught us East Coast swing. And as they say, the rest is history. I've been partner dancing ever since. No, my husband doesn't partner dance, but I sure do, and it has made me so happy. This dance thing can make you so happy. And I want you to dance and to be happy too. So I hope that you listen as Emily and I talk about how you can get out on the dance floor and enjoy the benefits of dancing. So that was me telling my story. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Denise.
Thanks for being so patient while I talked on and on. But that helps you see how much I love what you have taught me to do.
Yes, and it brought back a lot of memories of when you and the whole group of people that you go out with regularly now first came in and didn't know anything. And now you guys just go out dancing all the time. It's so exciting.
It is, you know, and that is one of the benefits that we're going to talk about, the social interaction. You know, everybody starts as a beginner, if you're smart enough to take a beginner dance class, and you don't know anything, and you're with a lot of other people who don't really know how to do steps and make a dance work, and over time you learn together, and then you go dancing together, and you've made this great social connection, and I know you've been doing this a lot longer than me, and you can talk about that really mm-hmm. well. So tell us a little bit about how you started dancing.
So I always wanted to dance, and when I was a little girl, I browbeat my mother into letting me take ballet lessons. It was not an easy agreement on her part, but once I started doing that, I took some ballet. Later, I took modern dance. As a young adult, I took tap dance. But when I was, and I loved all of that. Those are very solitary kind of dances. Even though you're doing them with other people, it's a solo activity.
Right.
Then when I was in college, at one of the January terms, which used to be a big deal around here, There was a course offered at one of the colleges, and some friends and I went, and we took a swing dance class. Mm. And that was the dawning of a new era for me. I knew nothing about dancing with another person in this relational fashion, and it was fabulous. And the Pioneer Valley is kind of an amazing place as far as dance is concerned. There over the decades have been many different teachers, many different styles of dance taught. And so I started taking more and more different styles of dance and just learning a lot about it. And everything I learned, I wanted to learn the next thing. At no point did I ever think, nah, this isn't so fun. No, it's almost a little addictive once you get involved in it. It's just so pleasurable.
Yeah. Why is it so addictive? You know, I read that humans have been dancing since they became human. Well, we didn't really say dancing in the study that I read. It was that they were able to move to a beat since the time they became human. Did they listen to birds going tweet, tweet, tweet and go ooh, tweet, tweet, tweet and move their feet?
Yeah.
Did they hear rain falling on the ground and try to mimic that? But it has brought them together in community, which is what you've already described. And we'll talk about that later, more about the community part and how that's so beneficial for people, especially older adults.
Exactly.
How did you then become a teacher?
So there used to be a dance studio in the area, Paradise Dance, and I took a lot of classes there. And after several years, the woman who ran the studio asked if I'd like to start teaching, which I had been wanting to do for a long time.
Wow.
And so I went through a bit of a teacher training and taught a few classes. And then rather unexpectedly, after about 6 months, the studio closed. And she had a lot of people contacting her saying, we need a teacher here, we need a teacher there. And she gave me a lot of those opportunities. So all of a sudden, I was catapulted into doing a lot of instruction, probably well before I was truly ready to do it. It was a very exciting time in my life, as you might imagine. And then I just kept teaching. And I always taught as sort of a side gig. I would have a day job and then I would teach at night on the weekend. And then about 7 years ago, I got laid off. An agency I was working for was not doing well. And I thought, what am I going to do? And I thought, you know, I love teaching. I'm going to give it a go. And so for the past 7 years, I've been having my own small business teaching small groups and couples who are getting married and parents of people getting married. And it's just the most pleasurable time of my life.
Well, I'm really glad you began to teach because I took my first dance class in swing, as I said, with you, and it's been really changing for me. So let's talk about why dancing does change us, and especially as older adults. I know we're both in that category. What are the benefits? I mean, we can imagine what they are. Studies have told us what some of them are. You had something really wonderful. You said something about the fourth, what did you say? It fulfills the four of eight ways to boost the feel-good brain chemicals.
Right, right.
Exercise, laughter, music, and dance. And that really is true for me. A study that I read, let me see where I have it here. A study that I read, it was from the Journal of Aging and Physical Activity, and it said that dancing can help older adults increase their aerobic capacity and improve lower body muscle endurance, strength, and flexibility. Wow. As well as balance and agility and gait. Now, I'm not sure if it's improved my gait. I know it's definitely improved my balance, which is something really important for older adults.
Crucial.
Crucial. And what have you seen? I know you work with a lot of older adults. A lot of older adults come into your dance classes. I know I've been there. How do you see this affecting them?
Well, I think as we age, if we don't take action to counter it, it's very easy to become stiff and somewhat rigid in our movement. And especially if you study a variety of styles of dance, you are asking your body to move and shift weight in different ways. And as they say, motion is the lotion. If you want to keep being agile and able to move in all different kinds of ways, you have to use your body. And so dance gets you to do it. And I think of dance as being almost a kind of stealth exercise, because you're busy focusing on what you're doing, learning where to put your feet, listening to music that's often enjoyable, having fun and connecting, and you don't even realize, oh, I just took 1,000 steps in this dance class, or, oh, my heart rate is up a little. And so you're having fun, but really helping your body in a lot of ways.
Right. I think you said it's much more fun than being on a treadmill.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And so tell me a little bit more about that in terms of like how we can take it from maybe being in our 60s throughout our life. Do we mm-hmm. have to change things? And how do we, when, you know, for older adults, loneliness becomes a really critical factor. They say now that loneliness is an epidemic
yes.
in this country.
Yes.
Well, I can say that, you know, with my dance buddies, mm-hmm. I have a group of dance buddies and we go dancing. And of course, you're on the dance floor and you don't think about anything else. You don't think about the world's problems. You're just there having fun and concentrating a little bit and just letting your body flow, something that our culture, we don't do that much. We don't really let our bodies get into anything. And maybe that's also a New England thing. I don't know. Maybe you can talk about that. I know my friend in France, she tangos, and there's no problem with people getting together and getting up close and tangoing together. Right. I know here there's a little bit of resistance to that. The loneliness factor is really important to me, and you've worked with people. How have you seen that change some folks?
Well, I want to back up and speak to something else about this. I think loneliness is not just an issue for older adults. I've noticed since I got out of college, since I stopped doing some group activities I used to do, that it is hard to make friends. It yeah. is hard to meet people. We don't have, if you're not part of a faith community, it's difficult. And dance, to me, is one of the best ways to do this because you're coming together with people who have a shared interest. Mm. And it's not just a shared interest, it's a shared pleasure. If you go out to, you know, Hawks and Reed or some other venue around here and a band is playing and people are out dancing on the floor, people are smiling.
Yes, they are. Laughing.
Yes, exactly. People are enjoying themselves. And so dance is a community. And there are even sub-communities within the dance world, people who gravitate towards a specific style. And then whenever an event happens where that style is the main kind of dancing that's done, people will say, hey, did you hear there's a blah, blah dance going on in this town? And
right.
everybody gets together and goes. So, you know, again, I'll reference when you came in and took that class, my memory is not good enough to remember.
Oh, I was one of the best people in the class, Emily, and don't
course,
forget that.
That I remember. But I can't remember if you started at the same time as all the people you hang out with now, if it was a magical class that
it
you
was.
All came.
It was
And
magical.
Then you just kept coming to different style after style after style. So all of you took lessons together for, what, 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And it's created a cohesive community.
It really has.
And if you go to different dances around here, if you've taken lessons in different places, you will run into people who you've taken a class with 3 or 4 years ago. You will run into somebody you had a great dance with a couple dances ago. And so there's that feeling of a network of these are my people.
Exactly.
I am with my people. And it could be people that if you just sat down and talked, you might have some challenging conversations. But it's not about attitudes.
Exactly.
It's not about beliefs. It's not about politics. It's not about anything like that. It's a nonverbal communication, which I think we sort of sorely lack in our culture because there is not as much music and dance around
right.
in general as there is in other places. And so it creates a venue of connection.
Well, you know, you mentioned something, you know, going to Hawks and Reed, and that's a local place where a lot of us go to dance. Going out onto the dance floor can be a really hard thing to do. It takes you back to high school. You're like, oh, no, who's going to ask me to dance? I mean, so a lot of listeners might say, oh, I can't do that. I can't put myself out there. Plus, you know, I'm kind of like, I don't look so good anymore. I mean, I'm going to look dumb out there. What should I do? I have found that most people don't care about any of that stuff because especially when you're starting to dance, everybody doesn't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Everybody doesn't look great. And I've found that, especially in a dance class I'm going to right now, it's a smaller one. There are only about 8 people in it. And we're getting to know each other pretty well. But when we learn a new step or something, we laugh at ourselves if we mess it up. And everybody laughs with us. Why? Because we're all trying to do the same thing. There's no competition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I find dance classes to be actually a particularly supportive environment for the learning process. You know, one thing that people might not understand, you can come to a dance class, as Denise mentioned she did, without a partner.
Really important.
Yes, because unless you insist on staying with the person you came with, the expectation in a dance class is that you are going to do what's called rotating.
Right.
That does not mean turning around in a circle. That means is switching partners so that all the leaders will dance with all the followers in the class. So what I like to say is that it's better that way, even if you come with a partner, because you kind of amortize the learning pain. You spread it out across the entire class. And it's quite an interesting experience. I mean, I'm taking classes now, and they're challenging things that I don't get the first or second time around. But when I dance with somebody, and then I switch partner, and that person comes around again, and I've figured it out by the time, or I've just improved since they were first there, it is really a wonderful experience.
Isn't it? We
cheer each other on.
Right. And there's something so wonderful about being brave and taking a step into unknown territory. I mean, maybe you remember how you danced in high school and you think maybe you still have that ability to move on the floor. And you know, you probably do. It does come back. But to learn something new, did I ever think that I would learn the hustle? Now, let me tell you, I had parents who danced every Saturday night and they loved the hustle. But when I saw what you had to do in hustle, that is a big, heavy-duty dance, especially for the follower, which reminds me, we need to talk before we're done about followers and leaders and how that can be wonderful, but also a little bit of a challenge. So for me, it was great to say, I'm going to learn this dance that my parents really loved and kind of then say, hey, thanks a lot, Mom and Dad. Mm. And let me just say, it wasn't just my parents. We all have these anecdotes. Let me just say this. One of the reasons I dance is because one of the last things I did with my grandmother, I went and I sat beside her in a nursing home. Now, she said to me, Denise, here I am, an old lady, and still I want to dance. I know. And so I think that was one of the motivations. She was in her 90s when she said that. She died a little bit after that. And sometimes I go out there and I think, hey, my parents did this. My grandmother did this. People from the old country did this. I've traveled. When I go to Peru and Slovakia and Morocco, people were dancing for us. I just danced with my cousins on the banks of the Danube to an impromptu sort of band that started. And we looked at each other and said, we're dancing under the full moon in Budapest. Mm. This is wonderful. And people came out and they joined us, people all over the world, to dance. It's this universal, wonderful thing that we can all do together. And it doesn't matter what we look like or who we are or, as you said, what we believe in. And I know I digressed, but for me, that is a real important part of dancing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that completely makes sense.
Doesn't it?
Yep.
But we talked a little bit about leaders and followers and how that can be wonderful and how it is really hard. Explain that a little bit, because we had the traditional dance setup of being a leader, and that was usually a man, and being a follower, and that was usually a woman. Well, let's face it. Women are a lot more comfortable in general moving on the dance floor, moving their bodies around. We've kind of done that. We all took ballet. Did a lot of men? No, unfortunately. So even now, there are probably more women who are dancing than men. And I really wish that would change, because if you go to other countries and see men dance, you're like, whoa, baby, you should get out on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what you're missing. Can we talk about that part a little bit?
Sure. What I like to say is that the gender-associated roles of lead and follow is very last millennium. And I actually think that for people who want to learn to dance well, that to learn both roles is incredibly valuable, because you feel in your body what you need from the other half of the couple and what is expected of you. Somebody can talk to you about it, but when you feel it in your body, the light bulb goes on.
It's true.
And I just want to say, this is what I've been told. I haven't been there to see this, but in Buenos Aires, when somebody wants to become a tango dancer, tanguera, whatever it's called, that the men are required. This is serious. This is not just, oh, that's interesting. But somebody who really wants to learn, they are required to follow for a year before they are taught to lead.
That is such a great idea.
Isn't that?
Yeah, so they know what the follower has to do.
Yes, exactly. And what needs to be provided to the follower that allows them to do what they are being asked to do. If you get a bad lead, you have to be a very, very good follower to not be affected by that.
Right.
And I just want to share that, so for me, I've always been interested. It's like a puzzle that the two parts fit together, the lead and the follow. And I started off learning both parts, which was, you know, a great gift to me from the universe that that happened. And one of the terms that we use for people who are equally able to lead and follow is called being ambidanstrous.
Oh, I love it. That's perfect. Yeah. Ambidanstrous, something I probably will never be.
Oh, Denise.
No, I do not want to learn to lead.
Okay, so want is different than capable. Completely capable of learning how to lead.
Oh, boy, I know what's coming. She's going to try to get me to be a leader on the dance floor.
Only if you want.
No.
They're leading and following each have their own challenges. There are two jobs, and every partner dance has those two jobs. And they each have their challenges, which can be taught how to lead properly, how to follow properly. It's not some magic wand you wave.
Right.
So when you're dancing, there are two kinds of things you need to learn. One is where, actually more than two, but first you have to learn where are your feet going. If you don't know where your feet are going, you can't get anywhere. And then there are other parts of your body too. For example, when we're turning, there's ways of using your head, there's ways of using your core, there's ways of using all different parts of your body that make your turning go better. And
do you think that intimidates people when they think, I want to dance, but I don't think I can learn all of that stuff now?
Well, here's the deal. You start with a beginner's class.
Very important.
And in a beginner's class, the teacher teaches you very basic information. They sort of give it out in little spoonfuls.
I know, like this. We're going to learn East Coast Swing right here.
Yes.
Step, step. Rock, step, 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 rock, step, step. We learned that, and I was doing it in my dreams. And you did that, Emily. You broke it down into that, and then you learned the next three steps, and then you learned the next three, and then you put those nine together, and then you go home. And then you come to the next class, and then you learn three more, and now you have 12.
Exactly.
And it is a matter of repetition. That's why it's so good for our brains.
Yes, that is true. And in classes, when you learn those three steps and then the nine steps and you go home, generally, when you come back to the next class, if you're taking a series, you review everything you learned the previous week. The teacher does not expect you to remember everything.
Right.
And so then you layer on more and more and keep reviewing. And I've learned tricks from one of my great teachers suggested you take a dance class, which is at night, and you go home, and before you get into bed, you review what you learned in class that night. And, you know, learning theory says the things that we review right before we go to sleep
Right. Stick
more.
And, you know, that's really good. It's not like taking a math class and having to review that before you go to sleep, even though I happen to like math, but dancing is fun,
yeah.
And that's what I think we really need to let people know, and people of all ages mm-hmm. like to have fun. So I'm encouraging folks, and I know Emily is too, and she has a lot of older adults in her class. I'm encouraging folks to think about putting more fun in their lives by doing something that's a little bit challenging, which makes it good for their brain and their body, something that will improve the way they spend their time, not solitary anymore, but it'll improve their connections with a community that is really happy to see you come out and take those first few dance steps. And now, I know we're almost running out of time. Emily, I know we could talk on and on and on. Should we summarize for folks who might say, well, what should I do?
Well, I want to say a couple things. One is that there are lots of dance classes in the area. And so if you Google partner dance classes near me or beginning dance classes near me, you will find all kinds of information. And then for people who think, I just don't think I can do it, I want to say, if you can count to eight and you can walk, you can dance. You can totally learn how to do this. You need good instruction. You need patience with yourself. You need to be willing to practice. But I guarantee you, you will have success.
I agree. I know that's true because this has become one of the most important things in my life. Thank you for teaching me to dance.
Oh, my deep pleasure, Denise.
Thank you for being here. Oh, and Emily?
Yes?
I can count to six and or eight, so yeah. Should we get up and dance?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay.
This concludes today's podcast. We're always looking for new ideas, so feel free to reach out to Judy Raper, Associate Dean of Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College at 413-775-1819. If you have an idea you'd love to share. Special thanks to the creators of Backyard Oasis, Denise Schwartz, Chad Fuller, Dennis Lee, and Christine Copeland. Have a great day.